I am a sex addict. This is my journal through recovery as it happens. I will give you my own personal insights and thoughts as they occur through every step of my experience. I make no claim of expertise or advanced knowledge. I am on the same path that many have followed. I am seeking guidance, support, wisdom, and prayer. Each episode, I will give an unfiltered account of my hopes, prayers, anxieties, fears, and hopefully some learnings as well. I will start practicing rigorous honesty here. I'm terrified about being so transparent with my emotions. As an addict, I'm new at this whole intimacy thing. I hope you find something here that aids you in your own recovery. This journal is part of my recovery, a very important part. Take what you like and leave the rest. Sincerely, a Christian and a sex addict.
Intimacy. I'm struggling with this word. In one of our group meetings, we defined intimacy as having four parts: spiritual, emotional, physical non-sexual, and physical sexual. The first three must be achieved by an addict. That's me. And with your spouse before you get to the last one. I don't like this word right now. God is breaking me to end my lack of intimacy. My wife put me on the spot this morning, and I froze. So we were finishing up church. She walked out to the sanctuary before me. I had hung back chatting with a guy in my Bible study. My phone starts buzzing. It's my wife asking where I am. So she's in the lobby talking to our son's Bible study teacher. It seems our son was ducking out early a couple of times and had not told us about it. My wife was very upset about it and was talking to this guy who is his teacher. I'd met him a couple of times before. He seems nice enough, and he's well focused on high school kids. Well, she's in the midst of talking to him about our son and his trying to push away from us and be more independent. I walk up, she looks at me and says, "Well, tell him why things are stressed at our house. Explain why our son is the way he is." And I locked up. Well, we've just had some issues in our house recently. Not the right response. My decision making sucks, so what do I know? I did at least recognize that she was steaming mad. So I gathered myself, took a deep breath, and plunged ahead. Well, you see, I have been the issue. I've caused a lot of damage to our marriage, and my son has been in the midst of it. So I chatted with him for a bit and said, "Why don't we get coffee and we can talk about it?" He agreed, and my heart kind of started back after the conversation was over. I realized that I had just taken a big chance. My anxiety was at a 12 on a scale of 1 to 10. I had to go through with this. This would be the first time to share my story with a stranger, somebody not in recovery. I didn't know if it was safe. I decided that I would do something I hadn't really done much in my life to this point. I would trust God with my truth. I would trust that He had given me this chance to practice intimacy. My friend in recovery defines intimacy as "into me you see." So here was my chance to try it out, to let somebody else see into me. I would love to describe a smooth, easy transition to full openness and transparency about my story, and that I have now complete faith in God, and I'm opening myself up to anyone, but that wouldn't be the truth. I stuttered, stumbled, felt very awkward, was terrified that this guy would look at me like a leper and move as far away as possible. But yet I survived. I opened up to another person who I didn't know, and I wasn't sure if he was safe or not. Turns out he was. God is teaching me intimacy. It sucks. I don't think I have a choice, intimacy or isolation. I think I will learn intimacy. It feels unnatural to me, but it's what God desires for me, so intimacy it is. I wish I could just stop there. slowly integrate, stretch this new muscle of intimacy. But that isn't all there is to it. How's your anxiety level right now? Why don't we raise it? That's what my counselor just told me after 45 minutes of session time. We spent the most of the session with innocuous conversation and suggestions. Then he just asked me that question. I said that my anxiety level was low. He said that's what he thought, that I was now comfortable with a routine, and I knew what to expect. Initially in counseling, I would have had a higher score due to heightened anxiety, but now I'm used to meeting with him. So at the beginning of the session, he said he would probably try to heighten it soon, but not now because I was expecting it. And so the session went on. We talked about the outcome of my recovery, the process. We talked about crafting my sobriety statement with my wife and how that should be similar to a mission statement, but one for my life and our marriage. I should make it a couple of concise sentences that I could remember and quote. We spent several minutes on anger. My wife has anger, and I don't always know how to respond. My counselor stated that the goal was to let yourself be angry without hurting anyone. He specifically referenced Ephesians 4, where Paul talks about, in your anger, do not sin. My counselor pointed out that God expects us to be angry, and that anger is a necessity. However, don't sin, don't hurt anyone, including yourself in your anger. Explore it, let it happen, dig into the root, and don't let the sun go down on your anger. In other words, deal with it. And then he changed the focus. 45 minutes into an hour session that ended up being an hour and 15 minutes. He asked me a simple question. How did you respond when your discovery occurred? What did you mean? I said. Well, where did that drive you? How did you feel? I had to stop and think. I answered, maybe shame? I wasn't sure. I couldn't name how I felt. So where's your anxiety level now? I answered that it was high and rising. Why is that? He said. So here's what I suspect, he continued, and have suspected for some time. Every week you come in here with this jolly front. You seem and come across in a good mood. I don't buy it. I think it's a defense. I think you're depressed. You told me coming out of your disclosure that test showed you were depressed. I think it's true. I think you suffer from depression, but more likely anxiety. So where's your anxiety level now? Through the roof, I said, and I'm very uncomfortable. I'd never felt that emotion, that touch on the base underlying depression that I didn't even know was there. My wife has pointed out to me that she knew I hid my emotions, that I avoided them. My counselor said the same thing. He told me that he thought I didn't know how to handle them or experience them, that they terrified me, and so therefore I avoided them. He suspected I had difficulty naming my emotions at any time, because I constantly avoided them and didn't experience them, so I didn't really know them. So how was that whole situation? How did that experience feel to you, touching your emotion? Did it feel raw? I suspect it did. Yes, he was right. That's exactly what I felt. But raw, but more accurately, exposed, unprotected, vulnerable. That was the most terrifying 10 minutes I've had in my recent memory. Worse than discovery or disclosure. My anxiety was at a very high point. Now, what do I do with that? Evidently, according to my counselor, I expose it even more. My counselor just let me know that he thought my first step was ready. My history of my addiction in narrative form. How exciting. There were parts I wanted to leave out. Disclosing was hard enough. Looking at my wife and telling her all of my sins, my deep-rooted sexual sins, that was excruciating. Now I get to do it again, this time with other men, recovery. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over our addictions and compulsive behaviors, that our lives had become unmanageable. Powerless is the appropriate word. I am powerless. I didn't know that. I didn't know I was powerless. I thought the opposite. I thought I was in control. I thought I could manage my life and had managed it quite well. As I read my first step, I feel powerless. My description of how and why I ended up here in recovery. Powerless. Of all the options, I had to pick Castamonia for a recovery group. First steps are detailed, thorough, written, and read out loud at a group meeting. Other recovery groups make them short, private, not Castamonia. Nice. I let one of the leaders know I was ready to do my first step. I expected to wait a week or two before it could be scheduled. That turned out to be wishful thinking on my part. My date was the next day. That morning, the room was full, and it kept filling up. I had never been in a meeting this large. Maybe it was just me just thinking that. Nope, it's full. We opened the meeting, read through all the readings, finished up, and the leader stated that today would be a first step, unlike any other meetings. One of my accountability partners introduced my first step. I could breathe a little, seeing my friend there, the one I had read it to already. Maybe I wouldn't hyperventilate before I started. So now it's my turn. Hi, I'm a believer in Christ and a recovering sex addict, and this is my first step. I couldn't look up. The leader told me not to get too deep in my shame, to focus on the guilt for my actions, but not allow myself to be identified by them. I listened to that. I tried hard. I kept repeating the serenity prayer in my head, reading those words, my life story, my sexual sin, the damage I caused, how I tried to minimize in the past, and how I try not to think about all of them even now. It's so much. I spoke out loud the unmanageable parts of my life, the insanity, the costs, and then I finished. The feedback started. Guys identifying with different aspects of my story. I told one guy later that I had heard his testimony, and it gave me courage to speak out loud an early part of my story that caused me the most shame. He told me that I would get to a point where I wasn't ashamed to tell my story. I would know that God wants me to use it to show others that He can work in all areas, even the darkest. I hope to get there soon. I wrote this in my journal after I finished. God, help me let go of my shame. Help me to not be ashamed of my story. Help me to know You can and will use my story for Your glory and to impact others. Give me strength and guidance in how to share and use my story to impact my family.